SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at the website stevebick.com, and if I sound upbeat and chipper and ebullient. We have to talk about Wordle at some point. It just made me think from saying ebullient. We definitely have to work Wordle into this. I got to get Nick Luck. For those of you that are playing Wordle, it is very funny. It's the game, the British. What do they call it? Lexographer? Lexicon? Whatever. It's the five-letter word game. He built it for his wife and all this, and it's gotten tremendous publicity. But Nick Luck the other day, Nick Luck put in five letters and put in a word, and he hit it. He hit it without. It's crazy. You get six tries. Today was tricky. Anyway, that's those white, yellow, and green things you're seeing on all over social media. It's very funny. It's a sensation. And it seems like the guy that created it, he's not thrilled, from what I can tell, in the interviews. he really isn't all that tickled, and he's not looking to monetize it it's very funny. I don't know why it made me think of this, but Nick Luck just, he confirmed himself as as some sort of a savant and savvy wordsmith with that stunt the other day. Let me get to the reason. I can't even tell you the reason. I've been on the phone all morning already. I've already done a 3-hour show from 6 to 9. I've got two pieces of information that I can't tell you. Wonderful things, good news all around. But I can't tell you anything. You're going to have to wait. But anyway, it's got me chipper. That's the good news. And it's one of my favorite days. I get to go to Bennington, Vermont today for a haircut. that's the other part of the it's mayhem around here every morning because of the work in the garage, in the closet, the closet slash bathroom. They're here early, so that means you gotta I don't have a shower right now. We have no shower. So, getting ready for the day between Tina and me, and it so everything sort of rolled back a little bit. And so, instead of it being like mid morning for me, it's like mid afternoon, with all the activities here that now start, like a good hour and a half earlier than normal. Because it takes extra time. We've got two bathtubs, two clawfoot tubs, and only one shower. And don't say to me, well, you can take the clawfoot and you can get the tube to it and you can make... No, that's a contraption that it always makes me think of Groundhog Day, right? Hey, pork chop, what's with the hot water? Well, there wouldn't be any today. A case. I think last year we botched it last year, right? We completely forgot. I think last year, or we only got one of our audio clips in this year. Let's see. It's on a Wednesday. All right. So we're okay. We're okay. In fact, 2 weeks from yesterday. It's a great tradition on the show, the playing of Groundhog Day clips. All right, let's try one more time. We're 5 minutes in, and I've got to reboot again. All right, lots of conversation in this first hour. We're going to talk to Chad Schechsnader, as promised, and we're going to give you the first run through. Although the morning line wasn't up, I went to go get the quick sheet at DRF, and there was none. It's not up yet. So, and then I went back to the PPs. I printed the PPs on Sunday or Monday without the morning line, and so it's still not available. But anyway, Chad will have some ideas. But we're going to do a walkthrough of this tremendous card. What a great, first big Derby Trail season kickoff, really, at Fairgrounds, and not just at Fairgrounds, anywhere. This is a fabulous card, and it's going to be hard-pressed not to do, quite a bit more than just the stakes action. There's some really good maiden races, a bunch of good maiden races. There's also the allowance, not a big field, but the allowance third that includes, speaking of movie movie references, Underhill's Tab. How's the lobster thermidor? I recommend it, sir. Better just two orders. put it on the Underhill's bill. Good old Ted Underhill. There's been a great group of movie reference horse names the past few weeks, and including Underhill's Tab, but there was also the, considering there's that Jaws reference Paul Berube's got the Quint 3-year-old out of Gansett, he's got this whole family. In fact, I haven't talked to you about this. I had a very good conversation over the holiday with Paul Berube, the former longtime head of TRPB. Very interesting, and I should circle back to that. But anyway, he's got the Quint. He's got more than Quint that is coming, and then there's the other Jaws horse, Hooper Drives the Boat, which ran the other day and won, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But Underhill's Tab just is such a great, who did this? Spendthrift, of all people. The Unified Colt. So he actually is going to be a very strong favorite in that allowance and coming out of the Sugar Bowl. And he's stretching out here to the mile and the 16th. So essentially this is a prep for the Risen Star. Then there's turf allowance. There's long, short maiden races, fillies, colts. It really, really fun. So I'm anxious to hear from Chad, and then tomorrow Marcus Hirsch and Frank McGoey. You're gonna be armed to the teeth, and then whatever Scott Shapiro and Scully are doing at Fairgrounds. So you're gonna have this card covered. 14 race card. There was another name actually that caught my eye in looking at this morning. The DJ Stable team, the Greens, and Mark Cassie, they've got Luckman, and I'm going to assume making a first start as a 3-year-old, and he's kept good company and is nosed around. He's got a couple of placements. this is an Empire Maker out of a Malibu Moon Mirror that 10-lane bred and was $110,000 two-year-old last year at OBS April. But the greens, I'm going to guess that Len named this colt Luckman, and I'm going to assume it's a Sid Luckman reference. I got to check with the greens. But there's just one terrific, interesting group of horses after another. The Turf Sprint came up tremendous. How about Norman Cash coming down from Turfway with Sir Alfred James in the New Year's Day winner of that holiday cheer? Sir Alfred James off the big effort and going to face off against Michelle Lovell, who brings Just Might back. Won the Thanksgiving Classic, won the Richie. But she also, you know, she's got a 7-year-old in here that's shortening up back to the Turf Sprint. That's Strike Me Down. Strike Me Down. Solid form. Going to have to run a top race to compete with the stablemate and Sir Alfred James. What's interesting about Sir Alfred James, hasn't been on the turf for a sprint in a while. And Maniwa is in here as well, who, of course, chased Just Might home in the Richie Shearer. So that's the Duncan Kenner. You got a bunch of first and second time starters going short in the ninth. The Krantz, long on the grass for the fillies and mares. They're off the turf today, almost certainly. We'll confirm that with Chad when he joins us in a couple of minutes. But they've got the weather that had been anticipated, and it's supposed to be okay for Saturday. That's the good news. But today and tomorrow may very well be off the turf. Silver Bullet Day, where Todd invades with first-time 3-year-old Sweet as Pie. Lacrete, the cavorting filly out of Medaglia d'Oro, by Medaglia d'Oro, out of cavorting, that Asmussen brings back, that broke the maiden. That's this is interesting. Might be Lone Speed here, actually. That's one thing that sort of became notable when I worked through these fields. The Colonel Bradley and the Louisiana, where Mandaloon and Midnight Bourbon come across each other again. This will be the fifth time, I think, the fifth time that they have crossed paths. And that included, of course, last year in the LeCompte Risen Star and Louisiana Derby. And then again in the Haskell. So, yeah. Two of the big names. And we'll see. I think we saw Marcus Let It Be Known. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Marcus reported that Chess Chief is, if I'm not mistaken, that Chess Chief is coming out. Let me go back, and that was on my page. I don't know if I retweeted. I can't remember if I retweeted it last night or not. Grant Forster has not made a decision about Pirate's Punch in the Louisiana either. We'll see if Chad's got some of this stuff. Here we go. Yeah. Chess Chief is going in the Pegasus. That's right. And there's some question about Blue Kentucky and whether Catman and Eclipse are going forward or not. And it seems like they've been kind of waffling. So there's some of that stuff we're going to give you as much as we can before Saturday. Summer in Saratoga as well may not run in the Krantz. May go to the Pegasus Philly Turf Race as well. So we got a lot of that kind of thing to do. And then we get to the LeCompte, which is really I really spent some time this morning. And I mean, it feels like it's PapaCap and Epicenter as the two key players. But then the Louisiana bread, that Louisiana bread unified report. This is a serious horse. And our friend Al Gold with CyberKnife. And I mean, the two of them seem like the alternatives to the two obvious players. So I'm anxious to see what Chad's got to say. His podcast is up for the Fairgrounds report. It does such a nice job. And there's one aspect of this. I'll probably reach Al Gold off air. They're putting the blinkers off the win. They're putting the blinkers on CyberKnife. Now, technically, of course, he was DQ'd out of, that debut win. And so it's a little, it's not exactly the same, really, as you have to announce, the blinkers off a win is a declaration scenario and odd. I mean, but they're doing it, and it's a little different just because technically he won his debut, so this is almost, but still, it's still blinkers at it after a win. So anyway, I'm excited about this card, and we're going to probably end up be hard-pressed not to do everything. There's the early pick four, first through fourth, then there's the fourth through eighth, a second pick four. There's an all stakes pick four. They're calling it an all stakes pick four, but that it would not be an all stakes if it started with the seventh. That would be but that's how it's listed. It looks like there's a seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth pick four. There's the black gold, the pick five, which is a jackpot scenario. And then the late pick four is the silver bullet day, the Bradley, the Louisiana, and the LeCompte. So there really isn't a, I was curious, I couldn't remember if there was a second pick five that was not a jackpot concept. So anyway, it's a good one, all right? A couple of things about yesterday, and between Gus and Seth, you had a pretty good set of ideas for Tampa. And Gus, I felt terrible because Gus was completely shortchanged to a degree. He had that sizable pick five at least the pick four that was set on its ear by the DQ in the nightcap at Tampa. And it's a very, very difficult angle and spot. It's at the top of the stretch, and the way in which Wonder Water tried to knife through with Batista, and you just can't. The pan doesn't help you. The head-on doesn't really help you. And whether John Bisogno, how compromised he was on Strong Eagle. It's hard to, it's hard to say one way or the other. This was a very tough DQ, and I felt terrible for Gus, because I think this thing was paying okay. It paid $1,700 with the horse that was put up, the Dungeon, which was a horse that Seth included. And Seth, all Seth had to do, I think, to hit that pick four was he had he was against that short price favorite in the sixth, who ended up winning, Feeling Mischief. So that hurt, but he actually, you know, benefited from the DQ. Although he had both horses, he had both Wonderwater and the Dungeon involved. So, Gus, I could tell Gus because he texted me and said, "Did you see that?" And I was actually helping the guys that are working on the Closet, and so I didn't see the race live. But then I went to watch the replay, and you know, it's funny, that's a spot where an overhead would have been incredibly valuable to really because you really can't tell much from the pan and the, you know, and I wouldn't attack Bizzono either. It's not like he put on a show or, you know, and stood up with the whole demonstrative, but you definitely see that he had to put on the brakes and then tried to recapture momentum. So I mean, if you're going by, you know, the cost, you know, did it cost a placing? It probably did, but it's hard to know if he was, you know, how much more that Strong Eagle had. And it's not like he was in the middle of a rally. He was, you know, he was just sort of right there, you know, behind the pace. So anyway, that was your situation at Tampa. And when it came to Gulfstream, you had a firster, I know, in the Nightcap that was a little tricky. It was an $18 horse for Cassie, Shoot Like a Girl. That I don't think we discuss this horse with Cassie the other day. I don't think so. Lucci, by the way, came back. The people were looking forward to Lucci's 3-year-old debut. You know, last seen at Ascot, and the Not This Time colt came back at 2-5, and Tyler Gaffalione just, you know, kind of directed that one around. You know, otherwise, nothing of great note or import. It's a quiet Saturday, actually. Gulfstream, two more Sunshine Thousands. Two more of those races on Saturday, and you know, the focus is Fairgrounds, period. I mean, that's where it's all happening. New York's got the makeup of the Franklin Square and the Jazzle as well, and what's on Sunday. Quiet Saturday and weekend at Santa Anita, the Clocker's Corner, and another $100,000 stake at Turfway, the Leonatus. So there's your stake, Lance. It's all Fairgrounds. It's all happening on Jean Tilly. We're going to get to, Case, let me, it's been a while, I think, since we've talked to Chad. Chad just sent me a text. He says he's got those morning line numbers so that on the important races we can discuss. So let's get to Chad. And as we do that, let me also tell you what else is going on today. I kept a story on the side of the desk for Tony today, and it comes out of California. I don't know if you saw this. Dan Ross in TDN wrote a piece on Tuesday that talked about a exercise rider certification program. There it is. Certification program for exercise riders. And this feels like a good logical, right? This feels like an interesting logical proficiency and, you know, safety element. So I want to talk to Tony about that. Sean Clancy will join us as well, of course. And the this is horseracing.com, Saratoga special visit. We've got a story on the steeplechase front to touch on. Let's say a return of chasing to Florida. Very cool. And we'll talk to Sean about that. And Sean is also going to, I think, go through his Eclipse ballot, get his Eclipse thoughts. We've got Jared Bernheim joining us from Hill and Dale, as I promised. And Jared's going to provide insight and I think maybe like a step-by-step. We're going to let him explain, you know, for those of you that are, you know, thinking about taking a mare to Kentucky, never done it before. Jared's going to tell you exactly how to go about it. We'll give you a hand. And Rich Eng. And, of course, you're going to get a healthy dose of Rich Eng next week. Rich will join us for coverage from Vegas. And, by the way, there's going to be some video coverage on Sunday, which should be a lot of fun. The Sunday show, and I don't know how many hours yet, probably a couple of hours, maybe, you know, the last two or, you know, during the final table, we're going to have on RTN. So there'll be a simulcast feed on RTN for you to see all the action as well as listen in. So looking forward to that. And there may be some surprise guests in addition to Rich. And I'm sure we'll have the Who Dat crowd. they're always, their table is always right in front of me. So you're going to get, you know, you're going to get all the Louisiana breads carrying on. And it's especially fun if any of them are, you know, if any of them are making a run. So, and we'll actually probably talk to Bobby tomorrow, actually, Shoemaker, and more. And Pete's coming out, Pete Fornatale. Pete's going to be there, so he'll be on the coverage as well. I'm sure we'll do a thing like we did with Scotty McKeever last year, the Equine Edge. That was incredibly well-received and interesting. And actually, there's a story that I should tweet this. There's a story from the New York Times that actually I shared with a couple of poker players and with Scotty, which talks about AI, artificial intelligence, technology, and programming in the poker world. And I sent it to Scotty and said, you know, when we're in Vegas next week, I want you to discuss this and, you know, kind of flesh out some of the, you know, some of the tie-ins and applications. I mean, obviously, you know, you've seen, you know, so much of this working its way into handicapping. So, all right, got lots to do. Right now, Chad Schechstader is joining us. And Chad, good morning.
Morning, Steve.
How you been?
Been good. Just grinding along here in NOLA. We got some wet weather here today, so I can't imagine they're even going to try to turf racing today. So it's going to be a little wet here today and maybe tomorrow. I wouldn't think Jason and Scott and them are going to press it with the turf racing tomorrow either, and it's supposed to dry out and be okay for Saturday. But I'm sure on Saturday the turf's going to have a little give in it, but we'll talk about that later.
That's good. I mean, you want a little bit so the turf runners can dig their toe in at the very least. Before we even get into the discussion of the card and you know, how the meet has unfolded these first couple of full months, let everybody know about the podcast show that you do on a regular basis and where they can find it and what's involved.
Yeah, so we brought back the podcast for this year. We skipped last year due to COVID and all this, all the crazy things going on. But you know, we had it back in 2019, got it back this year. So Mike Diliberto, who's the clocker and morning line maker, him and I kind of host the podcast, go through the cards on the big racing days, and in between, I try to get some people on. This year, we've had Dallas Stewart. We've had Cherie DeVoe. And we had Ronald Ardwin, who's a jockey agent now, but he's the all-time leading rider in Fairgrounds history. He had some great stories to tell on the pod so far this season. I think we're going to continue it throughout the meet this year, and there's actually a couple of people who want us to keep going kind of through the Triple Crown Trail. So we might do that as well. We're looking into that and get a couple sponsors for it. But, no, it's on Apple Podcasts, any way you get your podcast from. I'm on Twitter. I retweet it. Fairgrounds does a good job of sponsoring it as well, putting it on their pages and on their social media pages. So we try to get it out early. You know, it helps at Fairgrounds that we get the PPs a week out, so we're able to look through it. Actually, I'd say it really helps out. And actually, I heard you say you could have Magui on, and Magui's a big fan of this too. Is when we have the entries out on the Saturday, a lot of those horses work on Sunday for the next weekend's races. So you're able to see, you know, oh, they're going to work this weekend, and actually, you know, they're going to run too. So the next week, so that helps out a lot, and we're able to take a couple of days and handicap it and get the pot out, you know, in a relatively, you know, time where people can have a couple of days to listen to it and make some notes and hopefully help them out and win some money on Saturday.
Outstanding. And I'm tweeting out the link Fairgrounds Racing Podcast with Chad Schextainer, and you know Chad for a long time, whether it's in the press box work at Fairgrounds and much any other. He's one of the sources, one of the really strong opinions out of New Orleans, and Mike Diliberto joining him. They do a great job. Let's touch on how the meet has unfolded thus far. I touched on things with Marcus a couple of weeks ago, and he had a couple of interesting things actually to say in terms of the way the track has played. And early in the meet, he was a little concerned about the field size and this and that. However, when you look at this card, certainly it's hard not to be excited about what the racing office produced. But talk about getting to this point and what we need to know.
Yeah, so the stakes races on the weekends, you know, these big cards they have once a month down here, they're excellent. The grinding cards, you know, we run an 80-day meet down here, and there's the commission meeting this week. You know, they're trying to push the cut that down to 75 days, and I see both sides of that. You know, from the horseman side, they want to run. Churchill side, you know, they're trying to shorten things up, make the purses better, and which is kind of happening all around the country right now. But, the meet, the Thursday-Friday cards, even Sunday cards are always a little light. You know, they've struggled a little bit to get to 9 races a day, which is kind of the minimum you're supposed to have under rules here. But, you know, the weekend cards have been really good. The Saturday cards, obviously, the stakes races are good. But, yeah, it's been a grind on trying to fill races here. You know, they're down 2 barns from Ida that a lot of people shipping in, shipping out here. A lot of works on the weekends, and then you look at the cards, and it's like 75 horses, 70 horses. So not a lot of entering, but a lot of workouts, which frustrates the gamblers. It frustrates the fans and stuff like that. But as far as the track, you know, I've heard mixed reviews on the turf course. People having a hard time getting a handle on it. What's good inside? What's good outside? It just depends. The rail's been out the last couple of weeks. It seems like the middle of the track is where you want to be, make that wide run. Where I heard in the past years, you know, you've seen the inside do really good when the grass is fresh down there. But it's been hard to get a handle on those turf races. A lot of price horses have been coming in on the turf, which handicappers and bettors like. Main track has been speed. I mean, it's been you turn for home here, and even though there's a long stretch, you better be pretty close, because there's not a lot of races falling apart on the main track this year. Inside has been really good. You want to be inside. And, I mean, I always, joke about it. Friends, we joke about, oh, the speed bias, the speed favorite. Oh, you want to be on the rail. We'll bet the inside. You know, you don't know what those jockeys are going to do. I mean, sometimes the 7 horse comes over and gets to the rail. Well, now the rail's good. Well, the 7 horse won. So you bet, it's just, it's in their hands ultimately. But there are some jockeys, I think, that have, a little bit smarter about it. You know, Colby Hernandez, Marcelo Pedrosa's, Brian Hernandez, those guys know. Seems like a little more often than not, they know where to be on the track, and they study it a little better than some others. But, it's been a good meet so far. I think overall it's been good. You know, that you can always whine and bitch about other things, but Look, we have racing, right? I mean, a couple of years ago through this pandemic, a lot of tracks weren't even running. So I think after this whole COVID thing, the pandemic, people need to be more thankful that there is racing. And we do have something to look at. We do have something to gamble on and watch and just go from there.
Well, the card like this will go a long way. And looking forward to being there, Risen Star Week. And then, of course, the other option, Louisiana Derby week. And when it comes to the fillies, the three-year-olds, the filly side has been famously productive. It feels like there's been an enhancement to the male side when you look at the change to the distances and having the Louisiana Derby be a mile and 3/16 now and a mile and an eighth for the Risen Star and basically asking horses on a different schedule to go a little further. It feels like that is a move that is going to continue to pay off. And you certainly look at the horses. I probably shouldn't start with the LeCompte and work backwards, but I think maybe that's what we will do. And this is a very heady group, and it's reinforced by the fact that you've got the horses that are on the future wager, Chad, that are going to be closely watched here.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, handicapping the LeCompte first, because, I was talking to a couple of buddies of mine, and you go through some streaks where, you're hot and cold as handicappers, and you say, what can I do different? And the people like to play pick fours and pick fives, and they'll just open it up to the start of the race of the pick four and start from there. And I read a book or some handicappers, so, sometimes better switch things up. Handicap the last race first and see what you like. And build your ticket backwards. And sometimes, when you start handicapping, you get to that last race and your eyes are tired and you're trying to figure out who you like and, you don't want to press the all ticket. And you get a little tired, but if you start from the back, I think sometimes that helps, kind of handicapping backwards. So, yeah, let's handicap backwards today. Let's look at the LeCompte. Good race. I think it's funny, Blue Kentucky, we talked about him. If Wayne Catalano wasn't a horse trainer, he could be a salesman. I was walking around the backside yesterday morning. He calls me over and, hooked me for $100 for a Super Bowl pool. And we're talking. He goes, I'm going to scratch Blue Kentucky. Tough spot. I'm going to find something else for him. I'm like, oh, okay. Just offered up the information. That's fine. So later on in the morning, I just tweeted that out. He tweets back at me and says, well, we may run. I talked to Wellman. We may run. And then, last night, he's like, I don't know what we're going to do yet. So who knows with Blue Kentucky, if he's in this or not. We'll see. But he's obviously going to be a long shot. He's 20-1 in the morning line. The main player in there, obviously, Epicenter. I saw him yesterday. He's the real deal. Steve, he's a nice horse. He's getting bigger and better. Talked to Scott about him yesterday. He's got the run over the track here. He's really figured things out. He just blew that field away in the gun runner, and I think he's improving every time out. So he's going to be real tough. They switched up and put Rosario on him because Rosario's going to be in the ride. Brian jumps off. Brian gets on the other Asmussen horse, which you might want to tab this one for later. Scott said this horse is really nice. Had a couple little issues, but Presidential is the horse I'm talking about at the bottom. He's been working Louisiana Downs, works for all good. He looks good. They're not expecting him to pop up and beat Epicenter, but stranger things have happened. But maybe down the road, this horse you might want to check out and keep an eye on, see how he runs, because he's got some talent from what I hear. Cyberknife is interesting. Brad Cox says this right now. Nothing's jumped up in his barn besides this horse. This is kind of his Derby, quote-unquote, hopeful. So he's a little immature. The blinkers go back on. He's kind of crazy, to be honest with you. Watch him in the paddock. He could get a little worked up, but he's got a lot of talent, Brad said. And when he puts it all together, if he does put it all together one day, and I don't know if it's going to be this race or not, you're going to see a nice horse run. So he's a little bit of a wild card. They get made Papa Cap 8-5 in the morning line. Epicenter's 9-5. Cyberknife is 6-1 for those of you who don't have it. Trafalgar's 5-1, and then the rest are big prices. Unified Report, I heard you talk about him. He's 15-1. He's a nice horse for being a Louisiana bred. He's a really nice horse. So he's got the race over the track. I was a little surprised Brian might not have stayed with him. Corey's going to come in and ride for Dallas, and he's undefeated, so you can't knock him. He's won open company at Churchill, but this is obviously a class test. But look, Dallas Stewart knows what he's doing, and this horse I think has earned the right to be here, and we'll see how he performs. But I wouldn't be surprised if he outruns his odds on Saturday.
Well, 15-1 is very appealing, and you know the two prices. I said this actually earlier. Unified Report, and I'm glad you gave the numbers: 15-1 and CyberKnife 6-1. But the race goes through Papacap and Epicenter, and it doesn't.
Right.
You know, it doesn't feel. You know, like you got to get overly creative. And, you know, Papacap out of the Breeders' Cup, chasing Corniche Home. And this horse has been, you know, for me, he's done very little wrong. And, you know, Cassie, you think back to War of Will and his run through the, you know, through the fairgrounds path. Papacap,
Cassie won this race
now.
But it's forcible, too.
That's right. That's right.
Forcible. So two of the last three have gone to Cassie in this race. And, you know, what's important, too, is the points, right? So Papacap has 12 points already, and Epicenter has 10 points. You know, this race is giving out 10 points. If one of these horses wins, they got 20 and 22 points. That's enough. I mean, 22 points last year was good enough for the 18th spot in the Kentucky Derby. So then, you know, once you get the points locked up, you can be a little selective on where you go and how you ref your horse. And so in that regard, for those two horses, I think this race is important, you know, as regards to that system. But obviously Papacap's very talented. I haven't seen him yet here. Didn't see him yesterday, but from all reports, he looks ready to roll.
Well, and, of course, Davey Carroll handling the Cassie horses at Fairgrounds, and they've had a very solid, you know, first portion of the meet, 24 starters. Going into today, 4 wins, 4 seconds. So clicking along at a nice clip. Beside those, what else do we know and want to discuss regarding Trafalgar, the Lord Nelson that is also on the future wager?
You know, I think Al was he thought he'd win that race a little easier here on December 2nd. I mean, he was a huge favorite. Everybody kind of knew about him here, and he had to really dig in that race to beat Naval Aviator. And, you know, I think Al gave him a little more extra time. He didn't want to rush him back too quick. After that race, he said, well, let's just point for the LeCompte, and I'll work him up to that race. And they've done that. From all indications, I believe Mike said on the podcast, his horses look good in the morning. He's been keeping good company in the morning. Going to be second start off his layoff here. So, you know, he's earned his chance here with the company he's kept and how he's performed. I don't know. I don't know. That race was just, he had to work really hard to beat a field that I didn't think was that great. So we'll see. I mean, these horses change and they mature really quick, you know, when they're turning from 2-3. I was surprised Mike made him 5-1 and CyberKnife 6-1, to be honest with you. But, you know, Trafalgar is 2-3, and CyberKnife just has the maiden win. So I guess on those laurels, that makes sense. But he's kind of, I don't know, he might be this race one I'm going to leave out of off my tickets. I think I'd rather Unified Report at the double-digit odds than Trafalgar at 5-1.
The other horse that we should at least mention in this that seems like he may be connecting the dots is Call Me Midnight. This is the Midnight Loot out of First Defense that is offered by Keith DeSormo. Took a while to break the maiden and did it going the one turn mile at Churchill. And then, yes, he was a big price in the Kentucky Jockey Club, but I still imagine he disappointed a little bit. But it, from a fig standpoint, I can tell you that it was at least a step forward based on, frankly, on the ground loss. DeSormo, you know, DeSormo knows this path as well. And I would give, you know, he's going to be a big price. You get James Graham, who broke the maiden with him, you know, back in November. You know, that was a two-week turnaround into the Jockey Club. Maybe DeSormo, you know, rethought that. I don't know if that was as Jim Cassidy would call it, an OD, an owner's decision. But here he is making a three-year-old debut. And this is probably a horse that is okay.
No, I agree with you. I definitely agree with that. You know, I think he didn't have any kind of trip in that race in the Jockey Club. He didn't have much of a chance in that race. I think he's just going to really toss that race. But has a lot of experience, for sure. Has a lot of experience. And like you said, Keith DeSormo knows his way around the track down here. So, yeah, he's an interesting long shot. He's definitely one he's interesting. He'll be big odds. There's no doubt about him. He's 48-1 in the Kentucky Jockey Club. I don't know if you get that in this race, but he'll definitely be north of 20-1.
The LeCompte, as we get going toward the Risen Star and the Louisiana Derby, Epicenter, Papacap, and Trafalgar are the three horses that are individual entries in the future wager. So obviously their performances will directly impact. Let's work backwards since that's the direction we went. Chad Schexnader is with us. Schex Nola on your Twitter. S-C-H-E-X, Nola, and I put out the link to the podcast with he and Mike DiLiberto. The Louisiana is certainly going to get plenty of attention. It's the other graded stake on the card, and the return of Mandaloon and Midnight Bourbon make this a headline edition of the Louisiana Stakes.
Right, these two faced off in the LeCompte this weekend last year, so they're familiar foes for sure. Midnight Bourbon got the best of them that day. You know, Midnight Bourbon's going to put blinkers on. Gets laced. Both of these horses get LASIK for the first time in their career, which I find interesting, being newly turned four-year-olds. Both of them, you know, have been training exceptionally well according to their connections. Both of them plans, if they win, and if it's a good second, if they run well, I think both of them may end up in the Saudi Cup as well next month, running for $20 million, not running for $150,000 in this race. You just think about that. They're running for $150,000 here and could be running for $20 million next month. Just bizarre. But anyway, Midnight Bourbon, you know, I think his path to victory here, and we talked about it a little bit on the pod, you know, Midnight Bourbon has to go. I mean, his path to victory is not going to be passing Mandaloon. He has to establish himself as the leader turning for home, and if Mandaloon's good enough to come get him, so be it. But I think Steve and Scott want Midnight Bourbon to dictate terms, and he's going to. I think, you know, Cox has Warren's in there, and he's coming off the layoff, but Warren's not as fast as Midnight Bourbon. I mean, they may try to soften him up a little bit to help Mandaloon, but I just don't know if that's going to happen in this race. And we joked about the podcast as well. We don't know what Pirate's Punch, but if you notice, Steve, the mama Catch the Moon through Pirate's Punch, and she's also the mama of Midnight Bourbon, so that's a little racing oddity there. The four-year-old Midnight Bourbon, brother Pirate's Punch, the six-year-old.
I love
and in
that.
That
and,
yeah, and in between
I know,
that,
that's great. yeah, we'll see what Grant's call is. This is a nice group, and you know, even Warrant and Sprawl, they've run races that are you know, right there. Spa City, that race two back at Indiana in the starter stake was good enough to at least be competitive. So, you know, obviously Mandaloon and Midnight Bourbon shoulder to shoulder is the story, but somebody's going to find a spot, and you know who's good at that is Brian Hernandez Jr. I would expect Warren to set up shop. And, you know, this is a horse that has not been seen since September. So it's 100 days probably since he's run. And Constitution out of a First Samurai mare, any step forward makes this first-time four-year-old a player.
Yeah, he's won here before. I mean, he's started twice here. He hasn't went over the track, so they know he likes the track here. You know, in races like this, you know, you say, oh, Mandaloon, Midnight Bourbon, that's your exact, and somebody always seems to split it. Now, I was kind of leaning toward Chess Chief, maybe being that horse to fire a good race because he loves the fairgrounds. But, you know, he's going to run into Pegasus now next week, Dallas said yesterday. So, you know, you got to take him out the race. So, I mean, for your vertical, I just can't see getting past Midnight Bourbon and Mandaloon in this spot.
I hear you, but I'm telling you, Hernandez is incredibly clever, and Constitution's get better with age, and one of those four-year-olds that you know you kind of forgot about from last year, but he's a Grade Three winner, ended the year successfully in the Oklahoma Derby behind Mr. Wireless in the West Virginia Derby. I think he's dangerous. In fact, let's run down, and I know that the line is going to have Chess Chief affecting it, but what was the line here before the scratches?
Yeah, so Chess Chief was 12-1, so he scratched out, but even money on Mandaloon, 6-5 Midnight Bourbon, 10-1 on Sprawl, 20-1 Pirate's Punch, 12-1 Warrant, and 20-1 Spa City.
I'm warrant is at least a B for me in this spot. All right, let's keep going
backwards.
If you're right,
you're going to get paid into verticals if you're right with warrant. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, the key, Steve Davidowitz, the late Steve Davidowitz, wrote in the original betting thoroughbreds, and it's one of the chapters and one of the things that has stayed with me forever, and that is the post Triple Crown hype reputation quotient on horses, and that the awareness level of the public on horses like Mandaloon and Midnight Bourbon cast such a long shadow that invariably they're overbet after the Triple Crown. And that can certainly extend even till now. And so being able to identify horses, you know, like a warrant that have upside yet. And you know, you don't have to be Kreskin to see what is going on with this horse. And Brad Cox has proven repeatedly that horses like this that have got, not a tremendous amount of mileage on the tires, just on the buyer scale alone. Warrant debuted with a 75 at Fairgrounds last year, then a 79 when he broke his maiden, 88. And then an 85 in the Oak Lawn. I mean, he missed the Triple Crown run, but then he went on this, you know, mid-season, mid-summer, early fall campaign. 75, 79, 88, 85, 90, 90, 94. This is a horse that could come back Saturday, and with any development, and I can tell you on Thoroughgraph, in terms of the sire index, constitutions improve 2 points as four-year-olds. If he jumps forward to a zero, which is what, you know, what we are familiar with the other two, with Mandaloon and Midnight Bourbon, he's competitive here. And then you get Hernandez, who is as good a positional rider as there is. And this is my kind of play, with everybody focusing on Mandaloon and Midnight Bourbon.
That's good points. Good points.
Just a,
tangent. He's never been less than 5-1. So always been bet because, you know, being Brad Cox for him. But he's been square prices. He's only been favored once, but he's never been below 5-1. So, you know, we'll see how much money he takes on Saturday. Sounds like he definitely should be third choice. I agree. I agree with that behind Mandaloon and Midnight Bourbon.
Well, you know, and Chess Chief was my best opinion of that Boxing Day card. And
We liked him that day. That day.
Yep. All right, let's talk about the Colonel Bradley. And as you mentioned, we're probably going to be a little, maybe they might call it firm, but it might be a little yielding with these couple of days of rain. Some very familiar horses in here. And then you got one that is trying the turf for the first time that is certainly from a very popular barn from Louisville to New Orleans. Team Foley is a high-profile outfit and a major fed trying the grass for the first time in here.
Yeah, so Travis, I talked to Travis yesterday. They're going to scratch. He spiked the temperature during the week. Travis told me that, and there was some speculation that he was in there to see if it came off the turf and he'd be, you know, pretty low price if it came in the dirt. But Travis said no. They planned on running on the turf, and they think his next start will be on the turf. They like the breeding on him on turf, and they're going to give him a shot to maybe try to turn around his form on the turf. But no, he spiked the temperature, so look for him maybe next month in the same kind of spot, you know, in the stake next month, the Risen Star Day. But no, he's out for this week.
Oh, all right. Well, and you know, the breeding, I'm assuming, I mean, he's a Go Sapper who, yeah, Go Sapper gets some turf runners, but Smart Strike Mare. Bobby's Babe, and I imagine that's where, you know, they feel that the potential turf prowess might come. And I'm just glancing here at
if you want I can run down the line for this race.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so Logical Myth 12-1. Logical Myth, the horse that if it comes up too wet, Joe Sharp's going to skip this spot. He's going to scratch if he thinks that turf course is too wet Saturday, and point for the Connolly over at Sam Houston with this horse.
Okay.
So be careful. He might scratch depending on the weather. If not, he's got a big shot. But he's 12-1. Halo again off that win in the Diliberto is 6-1. Calvary Charge 8-1. Own Agenda 10-1. Two Emmys is the morning line favorite. Highweight 3-1 on him. Second in the Munez, so he's gonna be the favorite on the morning line. Excess Magic 8-1 coming off that win in the Woodchopper. And Monarchs Glen 8-1, Bodie Cream 8-1, Lucky Curlin 12, Dine O'Mite 12, and 40 under 12.
Interesting.
And Mike Maker is interesting too, Steve. I mean, if you went into
0 for 25.
Mike Maker Turf Horses, if Equibase is right, every horse he started here at the Fairgrounds has been on turf, and he's 0 for 25 with 2 seconds and 4/3. And Monarch Glenn's one in here who I've chased both times. He ran third the last two out. I had him on tickets, and his closing kick just it hadn't been enough to get him there. They switched it up, put Joe Bravo on. Maybe that'll work. But Mike Maker has 4 in on Saturday trying to get off the duck in the turf race. And, you know, those guys that go into meet saying bet Mike Maker on the turf, and if you did that, you're probably not betting anymore. so we'll see what happens there. But it's a tough race.
Who's running the barn there?
I don't know. Not sure about that one. That might be a good question for Magui or Marcus.
All right. I can tell you that when I looked at it this morning, the horse that kind of appealed to me was Monarch's Glen. And 8 to 1 would be value, actually, in here. I don't think Two Emmys has to win by any means, and you know, there are some horses here that are interested in the front end. So certainly Graham's not going to get, you know, he's not going to be getting away with any, you know, 49-2 and 50-2. Although we should note that because of the condition of the turf, the splits may be slower, but that's just because of the heavy going, not right. You know, not because they're going slow.
Right, no, that Dynamite's going to want the front end too. I mean, he wants to be on the lead. Halo again was on the lead. Diliberto last out, so there's some pace to run at. A horse that I like that scratched last time out the Diliberto was Calvary Charge. You know, he's lightly raced 5-year-old, and Dallas had him going well in the fall, and I think they're eager to get this horse going on the turf, and he appeals to me a little bit coming off of it. Own Agenda for Cherie and Colby, I think I'd take a look at. That horse was very impressive last time out here in December. Ran a big race, and he's finally putting together back-to-back races, so he's healthy. And they've always been kind of high on this horse. So I'm eager to see those two horses on Saturday as well. They'll be on my tickets.
Nice. It's a nice competitive group in the Bradley. Keep moving backwards with Chad Schexnader and the Silver Bullet Day. And I was a little surprised that this came up so short. Where are the 3-year-old fillies?
Yeah, you know, I asked the same question, and I think, you know, I think they're all waiting for the Risen Star. You know, you had the Breeders' Cup Juvenile fillies. Every horse in that race was pointed here for the winter, and the only one actually nominated to the Silver Bullet Day was Hidden Connection. And Brett's taking his time with her. She's kind of a lightly built filly, but he's planning on running her in the Rachel next month here. She's been on the work tab, but there was only 13 nominations to this race, and Todd Fletcher had 3 of the nominations. You know, it's non-graded. Maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe, you know, trainers looking at 2 starts before the Oaks kind of thing, not 3. I don't know. I mean, either way, it's a mile and 70 yards. We got the horses we got. You know, I think there's 3 of them that you really want to look at. Fanny and Freddie, who I was kind of against last time, but I really didn't like, and she almost broke my heart there. She's run 2nd, but she's got a big spot, big chance, I think, from the rail. Colby's going to establish position, and Lacrete, the half to Clarier out of Cavorting, you know, her race at Churchill was impressive, but she really just got on the lead and kept going. Nothing out of that race has come back to win, so that's a little concerning, but I think, you know, Lacrete and Fanny and Freddie are going to be on the front end. A horse that I really like is Sweet as Pie. I think Pletcher's shipping in here.
Yeah.
Seems like Todd Pletcher, when he ships in, he means business here at the Fairgrounds. He seems to win in these big days with at least something. Something's going to win from Todd Pletcher's barn on Saturday. It just always happens, and I think this horse has a pretty good chance to be that horse. You know, she's a Tappet filly, been trained at Palm Beach Downs, and I think DRF had a small story on this one shipping in, and reported her last work was with Grade 2 Demoiselle winner Nest. And that workout from the 15th last Saturday, I think it's viewed, you can get it on XBTV, which is a good source for workouts, especially down in Florida. But I think what it didn't tell you was the Five Works prior, Sweetest Pie, she was hooking up in the mornings with Goddess of Fire, who was nominated here, but she ended up running in the Gasparilla last Saturday at Tampa on 7 furlongs, was a good closing second off her layoff. So I think Sweetest Pie shipping in has a big chance. Laurent Giroux is going to be aggressive. He's aggressive in these type of races. I think he could set up shop probably behind a dueling Fanny and Freddie and Lacrete and maybe get by him in the stretch.
Short field, but some fillies with upside and obviously some major pedigrees on display. And by the way, before I forget, regarding pedigree and going back for just a second to Major Fed, full brother to Zapparini, who was and also May Lily, actually, who was a stake filly on the grass.
Yep.
So that's the
juvenile. Yeah. I think you said something about Echo Zulu. We haven't seen Echo Zulu yet on the work tab here. Juju's Maps down here.
Nice.
Cox out of juvenile filly. Tarabi's down here. Cherie's going to get started on her as well. And Sequist was just worked yesterday.
Good.
So I think all of those horses. I mean, look, the Rachel could be a really, really good race next month.
Yeah. That, exactly. So we'll look to the Rachel, and I'm looking forward to being there. Let's talk about the Marie Krantz Memorial, the fillies and mares, 1/16 on the grass, and this starts the black gold pick five. Are there? They're not. I haven't heard this or looked at yet. Are they doing a push out on the black gold?
No, they changed it this year. There's no jackpot, so they pay it out every day.
So it's a straight. Okay, cool. I have not played it. All right, cool.
Yep. You know, this race, same thing with Joe Sharpsword, Summer in Saratoga. Possible, as of yesterday, he wasn't sure. He was thinking about the Pegasus, Billy and Mayer.
Marcus addressed this, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. Hadn't seen anything. But if you want the morning line, Abscon is the 3-1 morning line favorite from the rail. You know, this horse hasn't won a race since September 2019, but it's kept way better company in the running lines than anybody in this race. So I think 3-1, you know, even though it's being 2-for-14, this horse is probably going to take some money for Eddie Keneally. Abscon's 3-1, Catch the Bid 8-1, Touch of Class is 20, Lovely Ride 12, 7-2 on Summer in Saratoga if she runs, 15-1 Adelaide Miss, 12-1 Out of Sorts. Janelle Monáe is 8-1, and that horse is probably going to be half that price if I had to guess the way the buzz is going around her with Cox and Rosario. But 8-1 morning line on her. Third of Styles, 20. Past the Plate, 6. Princess Theorem, 12. Dawn's Dancer, 20.
Wow, this is fun. This is a good group. I do love me some Janelle Monáe. And
there's a Philly Triple Crown in Brazil, and she won last year, right?
Yep.
You know, it's hard. I went back to YouTube to try to watch one of her races. Man, I tell you what, those announcers, even though, you know, it's not English, they're Spanish, they get excited, boy. They got some excitement in their calls down there in Brazil.
Cool. Well, you know, for those that watch the soccer, they know how they go as well for the goals. Now, this is a fun group. Stylistically, what's her style? I'm going to do the same thing, and I'll, like I did last week, I'll put up the video. I'll go find videos and put up the link to them.
So the race I saw, I mean, it makes you cheer for horses. You don't even know who you're cheering for when the announcer's screaming the way he is. But she came from off the pace and actually split horses in the one I watched. And I think it was her last start. And she kind of came weaving in between and kind of went past the field with relative ease once she got daylight and galloped out really well. You have no idea who she's up against. I mean, you just don't know. But, you know, she obviously has some talent, and they bring her over here. And she's in Brad Cox's barn. She's going to get 124 pounds, so she's going to be one of the high weights in the race. But gets Lasix, you know, coming over here. In the morning, Mike said, you know, there's really not much to tell. She moves like a decent horse, but she's running, you know, training on the dirt and running on the turf. So I don't know. I mean, she's kind of a wild card. I guess watch the board, but I would think, you know, just the way Brad Cox, Rosario, this horse, I think it's going to be kind of a wise guy pick. And like I said, I think you'll probably get about 4-1 I can't see her being 8-1 at Showtime. So we'll see. You know, good looking all the way. You know, you got a lot of horses here that have won over the course, which is very key, I think, at Fairgrounds, especially in stakes races. And that's why I'm a little bit against Abscon. Hasn't been over the turf course here. I know she's been keeping great company, but if they're going to bet her down, you want to look for a price in this race. And you can go a bunch of different ways with horses who have run really well over the course. Did you get into this race at all?
You know, I my notes basically revolved around Abscond and Catch a Bid. I mean, those were the two. And then depending on what's happening with Summer and Saratoga, I mean, they seemed like, you know, they're the ones that have got the paper that, you know, is most, you know, is most apparent. Otherwise, you know, otherwise you're trying to speculate. You know, Lovely Ride, that was not a bad, you know, you talk about, you know, trying the turf or having success over the course. That effort in the Pago Hop, I mean, she's gonna have to take another step forward. But there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh no, not at all. No, she ran well for Ray Lou, and Ray Lou gets along with the horse really nice. She got a good trip that day, and you know, she did what she had to do to beat that field. She loves to win. I mean, she's 5-9, 12-1. I agree. She's got to be used on the tickets. I think Summer Saratoga is going to stay here. I think Joe wants to keep her on Lasix. I think if she goes to the Pegasus, I'm not sure if they let them run on Lasix and the filly and mare out there. So just read into that what you may. But Summer Saratoga, if she stays here, she's got a big chance. Corey fits this horse really well. And she, you know, she should improve off that race from the Blushing KD. So yeah, it's a good race, and I think a price horse will probably pop up and get it done in this race.
Let's jump to the Kenner and the only other stake. Then we'll let you riff on the maiden races and the allowances. But you know, here is a familiar group of turf sprinters, and everything starts, of course, with Michelle Lovell, who is one of the best stories of the last, you know, couple of years. Just Might, and actually the stablemate is okay, Strike Me Down, but Just Might, Manny Wah, and Sir Alfred James feel like the three that are going to, you know, basically drill down to.
Yep, Manny Wah's got his running shoes on. Again, the chase down Just Might. I mean, Just Might just puts these horses at such an advantage. The last few times, this horse has just gotten out the gate so fast that he opens up three, and it's almost like everybody's in chase mode from there, and he just keeps going. Michelle's done a wonderful job, obviously, with this horse. Loves the Fairgrounds. Doesn't matter if it's dirt or turf. You know, very versatile horse. I think, you know, Just Might's definitely the one to beat. Catman was... he was crowing yesterday, though. He thinks, you know, Manny Wah's going to improve off that layoff second time out here. He thinks he's got his big chance to catch Just Might here. He didn't go as far back as to guaranteeing your money back on Manny Wah, but he's pretty close. we'll see what happens, but he wants to turn the tables. And Manny Wah's doing great. I saw him yesterday. He looks fantastic. I actually saw the Breeders' Cup winner, too, for Catman's actually down here right now as well. He's going to get started and probably point to the count fleet at Oaklawn, I think Wayne said, later on this spring. But, yeah, I think, you know, Just Might and Manny Wise, it's tough to see it going past there. You mentioned Sir Alfred James. You don't see John McKee down here very often. I guess he's going to come in to ride this horse for Norm Cash from the rail. One that interests me a little bit, you know, these turf sprints, man, this is where Joel Rosario makes a name for himself, probably the best turf sprint rider. Or one of the best in the country. And Colin's a horse that, you know, you look down at his PP, Steve, he was second to Golden Pal back in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint.
Yeah.
He's a turf sprinter. I think Steve wanted to get him on the turf here, and they're looking forward to running him on the turf here. Now, he likes to run second a lot, but, you know, with Rosario and Steve, I think this horse could be dangerous if one of the other two doesn't bring their A game. So Colin might be a little bit of a stretch, but I think at a price, he's one that you might try to work into your tickets.
Let's give you a chance to maybe touch on some of these maidens. Anybody you've seen? You got the maidens. You got a couple of allowance races. I talked about Underhill's Tab, who I imagine is going to be what, 4-5 in the third.
Yeah, I think you know, Underhill's Tab looks like he's got that race on numbers. I mean, he should win that race if you go on paper. certainly looks tough. I think Todd has a horse in there as well. Which race is that? Was that the fifth?
That's the third.
Oh, it's the third. It's the allowance race, yeah. It's the allowance race. Yeah, Underhill's tab. On numbers, he should win. You know, they like that horse. I know Al liked that horse last time out, improving. He gets to stretch out now, go two turns, which a lot of these horses have not done. Pioneer Medina for Pletcher has done it over at Tampa and won last time out and gets Giroux here. Stellar Tap, they're going to figure out, I think if you see Stellar Tap go two turns here and, you know, doesn't do well, they're going to cut back and sprint this horse for Steve Asmussen. And, you know, Achilles Heel, Kevin's Folly's okay. Achilles Heel, I guess Brad's just going to give up trying to get this horse in the turf. Where he scratched at Belmont coming to the turf, and then Saratoga, he wanted the turf. It came off and actually won. And then last time out of Fairgrounds, off the turf again, he was trying to get the horse on the turf. Now, I guess he just said, I'm not going to get this horse on the turf. I'll just keep running him on dirt. But, you know, I think he's been training okay. Yeah, it looks like that horse goes through on the Hills tab, I think, for sure. He looks like he should win. If not, maybe Pletcher's horse. You know, I would give a chance to there, because that horse actually trained with my prankster. Is that my prankster? I think it's the one that won by like 10 at Saratoga first time out or something. So Pioneer Medina was keeping some company in the mornings with my prankster. So, you know, they must think pretty highly of him. So we'll see what he does.
Looking at the fifth, and this is a group that's going to go a mile and a 16th, and I've got some pedigree work yet to do, particularly on the grass maiden race, but Peaceful Waters catches my eye, and you know, this one has tried to wire two fields going short, now is going to go you know, two turns, a dialed in out of an Aldebaran mare, Chet Thomas, and actually, a horse that Mark Toothaker and Keith Krupper bred. This is a nice family. The Grass is Blue is that horse that Lou Lazzanero bought out of a Monmouth maiden race. And then Chad, I think, won a stake with him. And this is also a sibling to Tommy T, who was a stakes company type. There's some nice pedigree types in here. There's probably some decent, you know, there's probably a decent horse or two to be found.
I think this is the tougher. Did this race split with the second race? So I think this race came up a little bit tougher than the second.
Yeah.
Obviously Peaceful Waters, the track's playing speed like it has, both to the meet and if it's playing on Saturday the same way, he's going to be extremely tough to beat in this spot. You know, the two Asmussens, both of those plan to run. The next main race, and I think it's the seventh, Asmussen's going to scratch one of those. It's either Bo Diggity or I think what the other one's name was. I can't remember now. But anyway, in this race, yeah, I think everything kind of rolls through Peaceful Waters here. He should have probably won last. Gilded Ruler came back to win already, so he cleared his allowance condition. And this horse was 4-5 against Gilded Ruler last time. So I would think he's going to be around even money. He's been 7-5, something like that in this spot here. Almazano's a horse for Brad Cox that has been banging around three times now, hadn't broke his maiden yet. And something to consider with Brad Cox horses, and we talked about this on the pod too, is a guy like Brad Cox, his horses win early. And when they're in maiden special weights, they win early. If you see a Brad Cox horse that's gone three or four times and hadn't broken his maiden yet, stay away until they drop, because usually they'll keep taking money, and if you can keep beating them, you know, just be aware of that, because Brad likes to win. If they don't win early for Brad, you can usually start betting against them. And Almazano is a pretty good example of that. You know, fourth, a second, and then at Churchill, he's another second at, you know, 9-5. So just keep that in mind. But, yeah, I think Peaceful Waters is definitely the horse to beat in the fifth race.
Any thoughts about, you mentioned the Asmussens in the seventh. And then, of course, in the ninth, they're also going three quarters.
The ninth is a great race, Steve. The ninth,
go ahead.
If you look at the horse flush in the ninth race, I mean, $1 million, $1.5 million, $400, $450. I mean, this is crazy, the amount of money they spent on these horses in the ninth race. Now, I think in the ninth race, the one's going to come out, strong quality. I think he's going to be a scratch for Cassie. He's entered Sunday in a maiden special weight race, and so are the also eligibles, those and stayed in for half. So I imagine strong qualities, those who stayed in for half will probably run Sunday in that maiden race. So I'm looking to take those horses out here. Venco was the sales topper for Dallas Stewart. This horse for West Point was a sales topper at the 2021 Fayette Tipton Mid-Atlantic two-year-old field. They gave $1.5 million for this horse. And Dallas, up until the last 12 or so months, he wasn't really known as a first-time starter, and now he's popping him first-time left and right. So, yeah, this horse is 12-1 in the morning line. It's interesting morning line, Steve. I'll give it to you. Strong Quality was 5-1, but he's going to scratch, I would think. 20-1 in Ferocity. Venco's 12-1. Boss dialing in for Joe Duhon's run well twice. He's 6-1. Vintage Vinyl for Amos is 10-1. Smarty John, 10-1. Ferociously is 5. Planner's Punch, who I kind of think the race goes through, is 5-1. 7-2 on Gano. 12-1, Always Hopeful. And then 20-20, I'm Your Captain in Blue Banzai. And we just talked about Cox a little bit, but Gano's one who I bet against a few times. She's going to take some money at 7-2. She's another one they paid. I mean, he's another one they paid $1 million for. Gets LASIK for the first time, so I think that horse could improve on the LASIK, as does many of them in here. They're all going to be on LASIK for this race, turning 3 years old. But it's an interesting race. You know, Venco's the $1.5 million. And if you look at it, Vintage Vinyl, they paid $454 for Amos. He was favored first time out and ran third here off the turf race. So Smarty John, Smarty John's one I like. This is the homebred for Mary Lou Whitney. I don't know what they would have gave for them if this one went through a sale, but I think this horse, Norm Cassie's going to be dangerous here. This is one of my upset special on the pod with Smarty John. Blinkers on. You watch this race back on replay, and this horse had no idea what he was doing the first half of the race. In the stretch run, he kind of figured out he was supposed to run past horses, and he did that pretty well. And he galloped out with the winner of that race, which was St. Andrews, who runs earlier in the card. They're going to have a fast pace in this race. I mean, Planner's Punch went 22-45-2 last out against. They ran against each other, and he almost won. And Planner's Punch dug in, and then right after the wire, he was slowing down tremendously. But he should improve second time out. I think the race goes through him. I see other speed in this race, so I'm hoping for a fast pace, and I'm hoping Smarty John with Bashitza Norman a little better now. Adam knows him a little better now. They gate-worked him out of that race, so maybe they got some of his gate issues because he was slow to start last time. The blinkers on should help. 10-1 or more, Smarty John could come running, turn the tables maybe on this field and all these expensive firsters. And it'd be interesting. A Mary Lou homebred beats all these million-dollar horses in here. So I'm using Smarty John as a price play.
Well, and I'm going to point out the U. Robertson homebred. This may be the last Illinois bred in the country. I'm Your Captain, a midshipman colt out of the Big Brown Mare Lovable Liss. And she was fast. She was a stake winner. And she runs... If I'm Your Captain has got some of her speed, and I'm not, I certainly am not missing that 47-2 best of 80 half mile the other day by I'm Your Captain. U. Robertson owns this horse. It's an Illinois bred. He could probably have run it in at Hawthorne, but this is a $58,000 purse. That's a dangerous horse.
I agree. Joe Krizepek brought that to my attention, too. He said, watch this Illinois bred beat all these horses. So we'll see. It's a great maiden race, though. It's a great maiden race for sure. I think you're going to see this be a key race down the road.
Now, U. Robertson is as savvy as they come. And we should also mention the second-time starter of Cherise. What's the price on Always Hopeful?
Always Hopeful, 12-1, yeah. And this horse took money last time. You know, this horse took the money, was, you know, ran against Gilded Ruler, ran against Art Heist, you know, showed speed stuff. Maybe, you know, getting LASIK will help that one. It was a floppy track that day. Maybe, you know, didn't like to flop, but the track should be fast. And, you know, she's come back with three nice works. For Cherie. Interesting on that one, too.
Well, the reason this one's interesting, this is the sister of Tulane Trist.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she's not impossible second time, and as you mentioned, first LASIKs, and a terrific race late, the last of the maiden races, and it comes ahead of the pick five. How many pick fours are there? I saw at least two,
four.
Or is there four?
I think there's four pick fours.
There are four, okay.
One starts in the seventh, one starts in the 11th. You know, I think they get the ones in the beginning of the card, too. So
yep.
I think there's four pick fours. We thought there was only one pick five because we did the podcast they hadn't solidified or got done the wagering menu, but there's actually there's going to be more than one pick five. There's pick five to start the card, and I know there's one to end the card. I'm not sure if there's one in the middle. There probably is, but yeah, the late pick five is going to be a fun sequence to play for sure.
Well, we'll get those details when the quick sheet comes out from DRF later, and tomorrow, Marcus, as well as Frank Magui, and we want to. I mean, this is
Magui's the best. Magui's the best.
He's looking forward to seeing him, seeing you, and everybody. Risen Star Week, Chad. Hope everybody tunes in the Fairgrounds Racing Podcast. Chad Chexnader and Mike Diliberto, and all your
racing
questions
today. 1 o'clock close today.
But what you liked the horse in the nightcap, didn't you?
I do like the horse in the nightcap. Yep. Yeah, I think this, you know, it's going to be a wet track. It's going to rain during the day, they said. So if we get to the nightcap today, you know, weather-wise, these days, you never know. But if we get to the nightcap today, this is Louisiana bred maiden special weight race. And I think there's two horses in here that I like. You know, these Louisiana bred maidens usually run through Jose Camejo's barn and Ron Fauché's barn. But I'm going in neither direction here. So the two horses I like are Eddie's Humor, the 4, and Renati, the 7. I think Eddie's Humor, the 4, is named after Eddie Johnston, who was a trainer here for a number of years.
Yeah.
Sturgis, that's his boy. That was his main man. Sturgis has trained in this horse for Cassius King, who was longtime owners for Eddie. And I think they named this horse, I'm not pretty sure, they named it after Eddie. And they named the good one for him because this horse can run. Reddy's Gal's a horse you should be familiar with, Steve. The dam of this horse ran up in New York in a bunch of stakes up in Belmont and Saratoga, actually, I believe, too. And this horse has been working really well out the gate. If you notice, the last work on January 12th actually worked with Fauché's horse, It's Wild Again. They're both 5-1 in the morning line. And this horse, let's just say, put away Wild Again pretty easily out the gate. Fauché thinks this horse is going to turn into a pretty good horse, but he don't think he's going to have much of a chance against Eddie's Humor today. But he says to watch his horse later on. So Eddie's Humor should be ready to run. Nice horse. I give that one a big shot today in the last race. And Renati's the horse, I think, for Steve Duke. Duke might get off the duck if Eddie Schumer, you know, stumbles or stubs his toe. Renati's the horse second time out, ran real well first time out. His Iron Fist has been just a great for the Louisiana bred program. I think the track could be wet today. You look, Iron Fist has had 9 starts as offspring on a wet track so far, 4 wins, 1 second, 1 third. So his offspring really relishes this off-track. The dam won a race on an off-track for Renati. So 4 and 7 for me. I don't think you got to go any deeper than those two in the last race today at Fairgrounds. So we'll see what happens.
Excellent. 6:07 post for the nightcap. Louisiana bred maidens going 3/4. And thoughts to Eddie Johnston, one of the great, great horsemen, Louisiana.
We miss him down here.
Many,
great guy.
Unbelievable. Chad, this was fabulous. Shex Nola, everybody. S-C-H-E-X Nola on your Twitter, and the Fairgrounds Racing Podcast with he and Mike Diliberto on all these big cards, and they're gonna blow right past Louisiana Derby Day and keep providing you with opinions. And these are serious players down there. This is they take it seriously. They take their eating seriously and their racing seriously.
Yeah, I went to lunch. I went to lunch with Peston this week, man. You talk about a guy who takes food seriously. That's one of them.
he's the king. He's the engine on the train.
he has his meals planned out for the whole week. And when most people have meal plans planned out at home, he has his meal plans planned out at where he's going during the week. The waitress said, "We have a redfish special today," and he goes, "No. I eat redfish tomorrow. Tomorrow night's my redfish night." So yeah, he's something
the greatest. We're looking forward to Belle's the One coming back too,
for
her season.
Yeah, she's back in the barn. He just got her back this week or last week. Yeah, she's back in the barn.
Excellent. Chad, I can't thank you enough, we'll probably talk again before I get down there for Risen Star Week.
Yes, Steve, thanks. Appreciate it.
Not at all. Chad Chexnader, everybody. Let's take the break, actually. Probably be the only break of the morning. Tony Black next, then Sean Clancy, Jared Burdine, and Rich Eng. Busy morning. Back after this.
the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research.